It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Tech and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 97. R.I.P. N.Y.Y.
You look like you're reading like a eulogy over there.
With my little notebook? I get made fun of. These are like dollar notebooks, but I have everything in here.
It's like you don't see those after college. Like
you don't see them after elementary school.
Yeah, well, my high schoolers use those. But it's like, yeah, they go get the composition notebook.
Yeah, it's a composition.
Get the composition
notebook. I have like 50 of these, and I actually, even though it's all chicken scratch, I can go back, and if I can't find a phone number, or I try to date them, and they're amazing. And right now I have today's rundown. Series, Cashman, Boone, Judge, World Series predictions. That's your rundown for the show. If we were PTI, that's what you'd see on the side. I guess for me, you just got to give me your impressions based on the four-game sweep by the Astros.
Speaking for every Yankees fan, garbage. That's like my main impression. It was just crap. I
mean, surprised?
A little surprised it was that bad, right? Like, I thought they would at least, I mean, I thought they'd win in six games, right? I said that, but that's a Yankee fan saying that. Like, in reality, like, the Astros are a better team. Everybody knew it.
Yep.
But you think you'd at least show up and do something, right? They didn't do anything. Like, what did they do? Harrison Bader kind of showed up a little bit, but he also made a crucial error in the outfield. But other than that, what did the Yankees really do?
They didn't show
anything.
Fight. I wonder, because there's something about the pinstripes and making everybody cut their hair and their mustaches. There's like a, it almost feels like a lack of personality.
Right.
It's like you come to the Yankees and all of a sudden you lose your personality or something.
It's almost like you're like part of a boarding school or a prison.
Or just a cult. So I don't, it's hard for me, it's been this way forever, to have a sense of the team chemistry. And then when something like this happens, I'm like, they must not have great chemistry.
Right, but at the same time, that's been like that forever, and they've won, right? They've won in the past. So, I mean, I don't think you can attribute it to, like, them shaving a beard or not being able to grow their hair past.
No, but I'm making a broader comment about, like, they've always been a hard team to read.
Yeah, and the chemistry, I don't think was there. I think Judge was burned out. People were hurt. But you're not to make excuses, but the people that are in the lineup have to hit, and the managers have to make the right calls. And it was a disaster all the way around. It literally was a disaster all the way around. Anytime the Yankees had a chance, it was like, what can we do next to screw this up?
Right. And, you know, I want to bring up Josh Donaldson for a second, because I'm not as passionate about it as you are. But I watched very little of the series. But the two times I watched, he struck out looking in a big spot. He didn't even, it wasn't like, No, the one he swung at a high ball that was clearly 2 feet out of the strike zone.
Swing. That's not even like a swing. It's, it's like you could have went out there and had anybody go out there.
So he would. He literally seemed like he was an out the second he walked up to the plate.
Zero confidence. Zero like any sort of fight in the box. Anything. You hit the nail right on the head. Zero. Anything. It's just so annoying. I'm sitting there thinking about it, and I'm watching him with those lame-ass swings in the box. Just awful. Awful, awful, awful at bats. Like, I could have went up there and done that.
Exactly
it's
what I was thinking.
So bad, dude. 10 strikeouts in 4 games, and he kept going out there, going out there, going out there. He sucks. I can't stand Josh Donaldson.
And somehow Cashman, what Cashman said, he has no interest in Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper makes only $2 million more than Josh Donaldson. And Bryce Harper just...
Bryce Harper is exactly what you just talked about.
Passion.
Yes. And exactly what my youngest son said to me. He goes, you know what the Yankees needed? The Yankees need a Judge to play like Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
Or anybody.
Yeah.
But the obviously Judge is your marquee player, right? And you got a 13-year-old saying that. He's got it figured out. Yet you parade the same bozo out there every day. You're not going to sit Judge, right? You're not going to sit Rizzo. You're not going to sit Bader. You can sit Josh Donaldson. You can work your way around that.
He looked
terrible.
Oh, my
God, awful. To make it worse that you got swept by the Astros, you paraded like a little league lineup out there and looked like fools. Looked like fools.
His name is John Senecal, and he's...
Ranting.
Yes, I love that.
Listen, because I've been bitching about Josh Donaldson from day one. Yeah. From day one. It was like once Joey
Gallo
left.
Didn't you go through your podcast? Didn't you listen to old podcasts to find the spot?
It was March 14th. I was pissing and moaning about him. Why did they get him? Why did they take that contract on? Now they're on the hook next year. No one's going to take that guy, especially after that resume.
Nobody.
Oh, my God. You're saddled with him. Oh, I'm sorry, Judge. We can't pay you because we got to pay this clown $25 million next year.
If that's the reason you can't sign Judge, then that brings me to Cashman.
Just Judge, anybody else.
Right.
So, like, you got to hold a fill at shortstop if you're not going to go with Anthony Volpe, which they should have done to begin with and just went with it like the Astros did with Pena.
All right. Take a sip of water. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Jackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 97, RIP NYY. So Cashman's contract is up. And so,
but that's like every year, I feel like, right?
So, but having said it, you know, Hal Steinbrenner, as many people say, he's not his father. He does not make these knee jerk reactions. They usually say how disappointed they are and how they strive for championships and then change nothing, you know, from the manager or the general manager. But he is up. And at some point, I mean, my only thing with Cashman is like, I don't like firing people. I think he's obviously smart, and he's obviously capable, but the bottom line is that he's not winning.
Right.
And if winning is your standard, then maybe he's got to go. But then my next question is, who goes into that role? Are you going to get some, you know, Chaim Bloom number cruncher?
Are you going to get someone from outside the organization?
Right, which is something that's not really that they want to do. And they do have, you know, in the modern times post, you know, George, they've had a lot of consistency, and I just don't know what would be better.
Well, I think when you talk about Brian Cashman, right, we'll start with him instead of Aaron Boone, right? We'll talk about Cashman. The thing about Cashman is he has been there so long, right? And you can look at the last time they won was 2009, and they've bowed out pretty bad in all the playoff series, right, since then. But the thing is he's been there so long, so it's not like it's like move on. You've been there like 30 years overall, almost. Like, he was like 86, I think he started with the Yankees.
But then you get rid of him, it sounds like it feels like a rebuild then. What do you, I mean, your point is that you've been there long enough, time to move on. But if you get someone new, it's going to feel like you would then have to wait for that person to get in the groove, which could be years.
Well, it depends on who you bring in, right? I mean, it depends if you bring in someone like, I'll say it, Derek Jeter. What if he comes in and becomes the general manager or president?
Is he a good enough baseball guy to do it?
I don't know. He's only been with the Marlins for what? He was with the Marlins, what, 3 years?
Right.
So I don't know. It's such a hard call to make. My whole take on Cashman is that he's been there so long, so move on, right? But the problem with that is there's also the whole other guard in that whole top lineup has been there basically since like 2006. Probably.
Who? You mean?
Like the player development, the Oppenheimers.
All the same guys.
Like, they've all been around since the early 2000s.
Maybe the game has changed and they haven't changed enough. I'm not a big
sweeping changes to talk in the media.
You think they should just clean house?
Well, that's what they would have to kind of do, I would think, because you're going to.
But are you advocating for that?
You're going to get rid of Brian Cashman.
Is that what you want to happen?
You still got the.
Just tell me if that's what you want.
I think it has to be Cashman. It would have to be. But the problem is, are you gauging Cashman on what he did going into the season or what he did towards?
What does it matter?
Well, because the team was flawed to begin the season, and then the trade deadline backfired on them. But the team still kind of played good, and they made the playoffs. They made the playoffs and made the ALCS, and they just flopped. It wasn't like,
right?
You know what I mean?
Or you could look at it more simply that they, for the 13th consecutive time, they didn't win.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying. Like, it's been over and over. It's the longevity thing. It's not so much what happened right now. I think it's the longevity thing, and that's where he would have
okay,
to
go.
Okay,
so just let's be clear. You think they should fire Cashman and—
Well, you don't have to fire him. His contract's up.
Okay,
just
whatever. You know what I mean.
Turn his car key off.
You don't want him back.
I think he's the one that's got to go. I mean, you just signed Boone to a 3-year deal in the season.
Well, you can still fire him. They can eat $12 million or whatever it is.
That's more money towards the hit, I would think, right?
So let's just the transition of Boone. So Boone did sign that 3-year deal, and you think that protects him. I don't think it protects him, and I'm not sure he's the right manager for that team.
Well, he did a lot of knucklehead things in the playoffs. I mean,
but again, what are you going to do that's better? And I do think that he's a good manager, and I think he's a decent human being.
Well, the Yankees with Boone, they went with a guy who doesn't have managerial experience, was his Yankee favorite, right? He was a Yankee fan favorite. Like, a great person to do that and bring back would be Don Mattingly.
But I'm not sure he's a good manager. I mean, he hasn't done that well.
Well, I mean, he was on the Marlins for like 6 years, dude. I mean, what do you want to do with that?
He got them
to the playoffs 1 year. I mean, that's they probably would have beat the Yankees this year in the playoffs, but they never had a good team.
Listen, if they go out and they get rid of Boone and Cashman and bring in Jeter and Mattingly, those are like the only two that you could get
to make it like the icons you have to let go eventually, though.
But my question on both is, like, if you bring in Jeter, you need to have like the hierarchy, he's not the GM.
Right.
He's like the president of baseball ops, and they hire a GM below him, because I don't think A, he wants to work that hard, and B, I don't know that he has all the acumen to do what needs to be done to win.
But that's also the other problem is with the Yankees, you know, there's going to be that expectation that if you do get rid of Boone or you do get rid of Cashman, you have to get someone that has a name and that's proven. But that's the problem, too. It's like you can never go against the grain unless you're going to hire some pitching coach no one's ever heard of.
Right. You can't just get the best person available. But I would say Jeter and Mattingly.
Look, everyone lost their minds when they hired Torrey. And he had managerial experience. He had a lot of playing experience. And they hired him. They were like, what? And then he went on to win 4 World Series.
Interesting. So now we're basically, you are the classic Yankee fan waking up after this series and saying, Cashman's got to go and Boone's got to go.
Well, I don't necessarily think Boone's got to go. I mean, he did make some bad decisions, but listen, again, like you can't, the players have to perform and you have to, injuries suck, dude. Injuries screw everybody.
Right,
but you got to work.
They didn't have LeMahieu. They didn't have Benintendi.
But you can't blame it on that or open roofs or anything. You have to perform and they didn't perform. They didn't hit.
Okay.
The Yankees have been flat, basically, since the All-Star break.
Let's talk about Aaron Judge, because the money, if they're going to pay him what he will get in the open market. Like, I look at, compared to Xander Bogaerts. Like, I think Xander Bogaerts is somebody who's worth more to the Red Sox than he is to other teams, because they either have young prospects or a decent shortstop. Like, Xander's awesome because he's a great character guy and he's good, but he's not great. Right, and I think that he'd be good on another team, but I don't think anyone's going to throw $30 million a year for Xander Bogaerts. Whereas Judge has value to any team that can afford him.
Right.
So it's a totally different dynamic now. Whether that's 6 years and $300 million, I don't know what it is. In some ways, it's silly to talk about now. The real issue is if the Yankees pay to keep him, they will be in luxury tax la la land for a couple of years until they can get all this stuff off the books. That's A and B. But at the same time, it's almost as if they have to sign him. Like, if you let him go, that's a disaster.
Yeah. Deep down, as a Yankee fan and as a baseball fan, I don't think Aaron Judge is going anywhere. But I think what the issue is going to be is, you know, Aaron Judge isn't in a position to be like, this is what I want, right? This is where he just gets to sit back and look at what everyone's going to say to him, right? Now, do the Yankees come at him? Because, I mean, the Yankees are obviously going to try to sign him. We know that. Do they come at him where they're like, above what everybody else is going to be, or are they going to be at that same kind of level where he was what he turned down? And we were all like, before the season, we were like, what are you, nuts? Like, why would you turn that money down, right? So I feel like they got a really thin line to walk with him, right?
Well, because if they say, well, let's see what the market is,
then they're waiting them out.
Or they could lose them.
Right.
And so you don't want to do that. But
I would hope that the Yankees always get last raps, right, Adam? But you never know, right? If San Francisco calls and all of a sudden they're like, hey, we're going to give you $50 million a year, come home, your parents can come see you every night. That's going to be a lot hard to turn down if it's a 9-10-year deal, right? Right.
Well, that,
but
that,
at the same time, you would hope that the respect is there, that the Yankees in late in the game. That's why I'm saying it's crucial to see what happens. Who blinks? Who? Because you know someone's going to come right out and just throw money at them. You would think one of those teams like Texas. They're always
That really brings me to the interesting thing, which is the who. Because, you know, he doesn't have to stay in right field, but, you know, you got Mookie Betts in right field for the Dodgers. There's DHing that can happen too, which eventually
Mookie can play second.
And Mookie can play center. I mean, whatever it is. But they're also, their payroll's high. The Red Sox, it's not really in keeping with their philosophy right now. But they do have a lot of money. I think the Red Sox might have like $50 million coming off the books. Or it's a lot of money. And you talk about Texas, maybe they're ready to contend. I mean, the Braves Texas probably can't do it. No, I mean, it brings me to that, the Cubs. I mean, who?
It's the big market team,
right? So, but who would it make sense and where would he want to go? Because I do think there's certain people that I don't think care about winning truly, and I think Judge does. I think he wants to win.
Yeah.
And there are only, honestly, a handful of places to go. Like, if I was a player right now, I'd want to be in Atlanta. I just love that. I love that they have all this long-term money tied up in these players. Like, if I were, but I don't know if they can afford them. But like, that's a team that I don't love Atlanta as a city, but that's a team that I'm like, I would be jacked up to play on
that team. And the other great thing is for a player like him is with the DH. I mean, he is a very good defensive player, but he can go anywhere now.
Right. It's not just an American League thing.
He can go anywhere now, so he can get rest and he can play every day.
I think it was Matt, our producer, who said, did you say that you think he'll go National League if he doesn't stay with the Yankees?
Matt said that.
See, I think that would be, I know it flies in the face of you guys, but for drama, I would absolutely love that.
But you also got to think to yourself, you know, what is also important to Aaron Judge, right? Like, is it important for him? Because he's an amazing player, and he's going to be a great talent wherever he goes. But is it more important to him to be a great talent in New York, wearing that uniform, with the spotlight on him, with everything else that comes with it, as you can already broke the biggest American League record that everyone thought wouldn't be broken other than Nolan Ryan's strikeout record? Mm-hmm. And live that life, right? And what is his wife like, right? I mean, he's married, but his family's on the West Coast, but he's used to that, right?
Well, I guess
he's used to that.
He strikes me, and you know him better than me, but there are some players you know that want to get paid. He wants to get, but I think that being like his legacy seems, again, this is all just speculation, but he does seem old school in that sense. Yeah. Like, I think that part of him would like to be on the same team for his whole career, go down as a Yankee legend and go into the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
Like, there's part of me that thinks he probably thinks about that.
Yeah, and I mean, and you look at the contract that he turned down, and then, you know, the
possible. What were the terms on that?
It was there was all different ones. It was like 8 years, 300, and it averaged out to like $33 million a year.
Okay. So he's going to make at least 10 more than that.
I would think.
Yeah.
I would think, you know, but I think, you know, it comes down to, you know, what is the blueprint that's in front of Aaron Judge? You know, what is that blueprint? And the blueprint is all there. What should have been done before spring training is, you know, him staying a Yankee for his career, like you said, becoming the next Yankee captain, and hopefully in the next whatever years, bringing a World Series. And that would be the only thing he doesn't have. And I'm anticipating that he's going to win the MVP this year. You know, we can talk about that in another episode. But you got to look at that. You can't think, if you're Aaron Judge, you don't see that in front of you, right? And what you've already built on it. Why change it?
Yeah. Well, that's the advantage that the Yankees hope as an organization that's true. They hope that that's true.
But at the same time, I mean, you know, we talked about getting rid of general managers and stuff. Are you going to come in as a new general manager and work that contract and figure all that out? Like, the Yankees got a lot of issues ahead of them right now if they think they want to get stuff done and figure things out. Because who knows? Cashman could have a great rapport with Judge and something could have fell apart somewhere else.
Right.
Or for all we know, they could think Cashman's a total you-know-what. And that might have been the deciding factor. Who knows what goes on behind the scenes?
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Let's finish up here with World Series predictions. I think that Houston, a lot of people felt like that was, I mean, they're the best team in the American League, and it's not a shoe-in, but they were the most talented team. The Phillies are a big surprise. You know, they were under 500, and they fired Joe Girardi, and they brought in this guy, I don't even know his name.
Former Yankee first base coach.
What's his name again?
Rob Thompson.
Yeah, and he has done, obviously, a good job, and the players have bought in, and they're in the World Series for the first time since the last time the Yankees won it. Right? Yeah, 2009.
The Phillies won in 2008, and then they lost to the Yankees in 2009.
And so I'm not a city of Philadelphia fan, but there's no doubt in my mind that I want the Phillies to beat the Astros.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. And I honestly think they can do it. I think they got the team. The problem with the Astros, and we all know this from watching baseball, their pitching is insane. Like, and they have that, you know, it was Peña and Bregman, right? Basically, that carried them in this series. And if it's not Peña and Bregman, it's going to be Altuve and Yordan in the next series. You know, that's what the Yankees lacked. They didn't have the Yankees didn't have one guy that stepped up. These guys had two guys that were stepping up every that did it, right?
Right.
But at the same time, they don't have Bryce Harper. They don't have that energy that's the Phillies, right? And what better cause of fan base to take on against Altuve and the cheating
Philly.
Merciless. Yeah. If they had any rough time in New York, they're about to get chewed up.
Philly makes Boston and New York look like Switzerland. I've been to sporting events in Philly, and it's real. It's not fake.
Yeah, and that stadium is awesome. If you've ever been to Citizens Bank Park, it's great.
Really pretty,
and if you watched any of these games and watched what Bryce Harper's been doing and what that team has been doing, they got it going on.
So the truth is, they're not as good as Houston.
And they're scoring runs. The Astros are scoring a lot of runs.
When also Philly has come from behind a couple times, which I think is kind of important because some teams just tend to roll over.
Yeah.
I'm saying the Phillies win in six, and a lot of it's heart rather than head because I don't think they're nearly as talented or as deep. But there's something about the mojo. There's something about the vibe of the city that I feel like Houston, like, who cares? The city's a sprawling mess. I mean, like, do the fans really care? I want the Phillies to win. I'm saying they're going to do it in six.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you, six. And I think they just rally around Bryce Harper. I think he is literally probably the best player in baseball. I mean, the problem is, I think, you know, everyone's so hung up on Trout and you know, but Bryce just does it every year. He is a great player, and he's got so much heart and so much energy. And it's almost like the crowd feeds off of him. It's like he's, you know, it's like a maestro out there. It's crazy.
It's funny you say that. And then, you know, I said, I don't know if this was on our podcast last week or I was talking to Matt Saroy, our producer, but when he got hit in the hand by Snell.
We were talking about that last
week. Yeah. I go back to the fact he was so mad, but then he's also like, he's a big pride guy and he's a big, code guy, and he was like, he didn't get mad at Snell, and he channeled it properly. And there's something about I've never been a huge Bryce Harper fan just because I think he's so cocky and he's so macho, this and that. But the bottom line is, you're right, he's sort of carrying the spirit on his back. And here's a guy who's been in the limelight like LeBron, you know, since he was a teenager, and he's delivered. You know how hard it is to deliver on expectations,
and never screwed up. Like, think about that. Like, you even, like, talk about, like, you just said LeBron. Like, think about all the grease you think you could find on that dude.
Yeah.
And what do they got on him? He drank wine before a basketball game once and went out and dropped 40.
Right.
Who cares? You know what I mean? He wasn't sitting with six-year-olds drinking wine in bed.
Right.
You know, get over it.
Why does that have to be the example that you
bring
up?
Well, that's what other celebrities
do,
right?
No, I know.
I'm sorry. It's
disturbing.
Of course, you know, it's truth, though.
So we have Phillies in six. And then, you know, we'll start our off season. We're heading toward our 100th episode, and we're coming up with a really something special to do with either, you know, give away some Red Sox-Yankees tickets or do an event type thing. We haven't quite figured it out. And then in the off season,
It out quick.
Yeah, I know. We've got three more to go. And then we'll have the offseason. We'll have Rico Bronio, Bobby Dickerson. We'll have Jackson Olsen with the Savannah Bananas. We have a whole bunch of things lined up for the offseason as well. But, of course, we'll have our middle of the
world. We're not going to get Josh Donaldson? You think we can get that Josh Donaldson? Could you imagine if we could get Josh Donaldson or Joey Gallo?
Why would they ever talk to
us?
Joey Gallo might.
That would be awesome to talk to Joey Gallo and just ask him, like, dude, how did you, like, drive, go to the park every day. How did you do that?
Did you really not want to leave your apartment?
Yeah. Did you really want to crawl under your bed?
We can effort that. I think there's no doubt we can try. He's John Senecal and Brian Shackman. You've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.